This is actually two events on one Sunday. This is Christians United for Israel Sunday, and this is also Pentecost Sunday. And I'm going to show just a few minutes from Pastor John Hagee. Some of you may know him. And Bill, if you'll get the lights once the DVD is started, it's only about 3 minutes long. So, here we go.
This is an historic day. Never before have churches of all denominations come together to express our mutual solidarity with Israel and the Jewish people. Why do we have this national day to honor Israel, and why are we going to do it every year? We do it because the Word of God compels us to do it. Genesis 12:3 says, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you." That's God's promise for those who bless the nation of Israel. David writes in Psalms 122:6, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you." Praying for Israel is not a wish, it's a command on the part of God's Word. Isaiah 62:1, "For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, for Jerusalem's sake I will not remain quiet." Jesus said in Matthew 25:40, "Assuredly I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these my brethren," speaking of the Jewish people, "you have done it unto me." St. Paul said in Romans 15:27, "For if the Gentiles," that's us, "have been partakers of their spiritual things," speaking of the Jewish people, "it is their duty," the Gentiles, "to minister to the Jewish people in material things." So what spiritual things have the Gentiles received from the Jewish people? First, the Jewish people have given to us the Word of God. They gave to us the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They gave to us the first family of Christianity, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. They have given to us the Apostle Paul. That's why Jesus said in John's Gospel, 4th chapter, "Salvation is of the Jews." Right now, Israel is in great danger of a nuclear holocaust from Iran. President Ahmadinejad has pledged Israel should be wiped off the map. Many believe that Iran already has the nuclear bomb. Hezbollah continues to stockpile missiles that can target every major city in Israel. Hamas continues to build and smuggle missiles that can reach Israel's southernmost cities and towns. Making matters much worse, for the first time in decades, our own government appears to be wavering in its support for Israel. Washington has manufactured a crisis with Israel over building homes for Jewish people in Jewish neighborhoods in Jerusalem, something no other American administration has ever done. Now there is talk the administration will impose a peace settlement on the parties whether or not the Israelis believe their security is guaranteed. In my 30 years as a Zionist, there has never been a more critical hour for Israel than right now. You can make a difference. You don't have to regret these events. You can influence them. You don't have to complain about our government's behavior. You can change it. But you can only make a difference if you stand up, speak up, and be counted right now. I want you to go with me and thousands of other Christians to Washington, D.C., July 20th and 22nd, to stand up and speak up for Israel. If not you, who? If not now, when? Register by going online to www.cufi.org or call Christians United for Israel at this toll-free number, 866-683-6423. 866-683-6423. Thank you for honoring Israel, and thank you for going with us to Washington, D.C. God will bless you exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or imagine for doing so. I'll see you in D.C. July the 20th through the 22nd. God bless you all.
If you'll grab the lights, thank you. I am not here promoting a Washington, D.C. trip. If you're interested in going to D.C., you're more than welcome to do so. We've got further materials on that. But Grace Christian Center is one of 1,500 congregations across our nation and around the world this morning in a stand with Israel. Our country is blessed as we have blessed Israel over the decades and generations. Our country, as we turn against Israel and cease to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, has run into a myriad of issues. Never before has a governmental administration of our country treated Israel as badly as is being treated right now. I'm not here to promote politics. I'm here to say that as Christians, the Bible commands us to pray for Israel. And so we're standing with Israel, and we need to continue to do so. Now, if you gentlemen would please distribute those that I gave you, there's a pledge that if those of you who desire to sign this pledge, I'm going to read it to you in a moment, if you will sign those and leave those at the back table, I will collect those and send them to this organization. The Israel Pledge is based on an event that occurred in 1891, before Israel was restored as a nation, when the Jewish people were treated so horrifically all around the world for so many generations. There was an American man led by William Blackstone and a group of American citizens who organized the first of pro-Israel petitions in history, decades again before there was any state of Israel. In 1948, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that took place all around the world, and it has since become called the Latter Rain Movement. Not Latter-day Saints, but Latter Rain Movement. And there was a restoration of prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. A fantastic revival that occurred. At the same time, there was a new nation that had come into being within one day, if you will, it says in the Bible, has a nation come into fact in one day. Israel did, after 2,000 years of not being a nation. It was an absolute miraculous event that occurred. And they are surrounded by people who are dedicated not only to not even recognizing them, but dedicated to wiping them off the face of the map. The inside of the pamphlet that you've just received says this, the Israel Pledge. We believe that the Jewish people have a right to live in their ancient land of Israel, that the modern state of Israel is the fulfillment of this historic right. We maintain there's no excuse for acts of terrorism against Israel, that Israel has the same right as every other nation to defend her citizens from such violent attacks. We pledge to stand with our brothers and sisters in Israel and to speak out on their behalf whenever and wherever necessary until the attacks stop and they are finally living in peace and security within their neighbors, or within their, with their neighbors. For so many decades now, missiles are launched into Israel every single day. People are killed. There are terrorists who are dedicated to wiping them out. Throughout all the generations that you've known of Israel, there's never been a Jewish person strap on a bomb and go in and become a suicide bomber. You have seen Nobel Peace Prize winners throughout the generations as the earth is blessed by the presence of these people. And we stand with them this morning. So if you stand with them, I ask you to join with me in signing this pledge this morning. Rip that out of that booklet, set it on the back table, and we will take it from them. But I believe the scriptures are true, and you'll find the set of scriptures on the back of that pamphlet, and I'd like to read them together. Scriptures to help you pray. Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Isaiah 62:1, for Zion's sake I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake I will not remain quiet till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. Psalm 122:6-9, I was glad when they said unto me, read it with me, would you please? Let us go unto the house of the Lord. When our feet stood within thy gates, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, built as a city that is united together, for there the tribes went up, the tribes of the Lord, as a testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They that love thee shall prosper. Peace be within thy walls, prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. And we'll finish with Isaiah 62, 6-7. I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent, day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. Father, this morning, even as a congregation, we join in with millions of people around the earth in standing for the nation of Israel this day and the people of Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We ask you for revival to break out within our borders, O God, that revival will break out and Yeshua the Messiah will be understood and received. God, we ask you to pour it out, but we also ask you to protect these people who have given us so much over all these generations. We bless them now in Jesus' name. And the people said,
Amen.
Amen. So if you'll fill that out this morning and leave that at the back table, I would greatly appreciate it. All right, the other event that this morning is, and it ties together, is Pentecost Sunday. Turn to each other and say, welcome to Pentecost Sunday. Around the earth, there are Christians in the millions celebrating Pentecost Sunday this morning. A lot of people do water baptisms on Sunday and do all sorts of events, but I felt it was worthy of our attention to head to the scriptures that talk about what Pentecost Sunday is all about that occurred 2,000 years ago. We have gratitude in our hearts for the early church, which were a whole bunch of Jewish Christians. Amen? How many are grateful for our forefathers and those that went before us in the Spirit of the Lord? So this is Pentecost Sunday. In Acts 1:3, we read where Jesus ascended after his death, his burial, his resurrection. But he was with his disciples for 40 days. Then he ascended, and 10 days following that became the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and birthing of the church on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. 50 days after Passover. But what happened at this event? Pat, if we'll go to the scriptures, please. I'm going to be reading. They'll be up in the overhead. I'm reading mainly from the New King James, and I'm starting in Luke 24. I want to outlay some things this morning as we respond to the Spirit of God. Number one, the promise. What is the promise? We have the promise and we have the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit. Luke 24, verse 9, reveals to us an understanding about the power of the Spirit. Say with me, the power of the Spirit. And the Greek word is the word dunamis. Have you ever heard of dynamite? Turn to each other and say, you are dynamite this morning. All right, dynamite, dynamic, dynamite, dunamis, miraculous power, the force that comes by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are, say it with me please, endued with power. From on high. I grew up going to church. My grandfather was a Church of Christ preacher. He was not the legalistic Church of Christ that we oftentimes see this morning or the in our day, but he really loved the Lord. And I went to Sunday church every Sunday and couldn't get out of going. My other brothers seemed to somehow get out of going. I could never get out of going. I gave my life to the Lord when I was about 14, but I heard nothing about the blessing of Pentecost. I never understood about the full gospel. All I knew was, which is powerful, dynamic, and glorious, giving my life to Jesus. How many love the fact you can give your life to Jesus and He becomes your Lord? It's by faith, it's by grace you're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then there is an infilling of the Holy Spirit that takes place, a breath of God upon us, or we wouldn't be able to become Christians. But in addition to that, there's an additional experience, the promise from the Father. These people had already received the breath of God. These folks had already had the Holy Spirit move upon them. They'd done miracles. But Jesus says, now look, another experience is coming. And I want you to understand, you're going to be endued with power from on high. Let's see it from different translations. The New American Standard Bible says, until you are clothed with power. Message, until you are equipped with power. How many could use more power in your life? New Living Testament says, until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive, say it with me please, power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. Anybody in this room ever, come on, be honest with me this morning, anybody in this room ever at least once in your life experienced temptation? I thought I had the right crowd, okay. All right, so once or twice in your long life you've had a temptation. How many would like to have more power against temptation? More power to stand in the Lord. More power to walk victoriously when the enemy comes to hassle us and bother us. We have power from the Holy Spirit. Secondly, comfort and help. And the Greek word is parakletos. Say it with me, please. Parakletos. And it means consoler or advocate. Have you ever been in turmoil and just wish somebody would stand with you and take your side? Even when you're wrong, you wish somebody would take your side? But the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. He's our advocate, our consoler, our helper. See what the Scripture says, John 14:16-17. I will pray the Father, He'll give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. New King James says, He'll give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Message says, He'll provide for you another friend. Sounds exactly like Pastor Sherry's heart this morning, even as she opened. He is a friend who sticks closer than a brethren. He's the one we want to get close to. As for me, I get as, say it with me please, close to Him as I possibly can. Well, Pastor Kev, that wasn't up there. I know, we just know that verse really well, don't we? We've had somebody really mention that verse to us a lot. He'll give you another helper. Message, He'll give you another friend. New Living, He'll give you another advocate, somebody to pick you up. What else is He? He's our helper, our teacher. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things. Bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said to you. Have you ever heard the voice of the Spirit, the nudging, the promptings, where you know, I shouldn't go that way. I shouldn't do that thing. I shouldn't say that. How many are grateful the Holy Spirit is inside teaching you along the way? Teaches us what to do, and sometimes after we blow it, He really teaches us. Yeah. But thank God He's the teacher who abides with you to help you and strengthen you. You look at me and you say, can I really know God? God really wants to live with me? Someone say amen. He sure does. The Holy Spirit's presence, comfort, strength. They had been with this Jesus for 3.5 years as His disciples, completely dejected, rejected, hiding out, afraid. And then He's raised again. And then He says, I'm going away. Wait a minute. You just came back alive. We need you. We want you. And He says, if I don't go away, I won't be able to send you the Comforter. But if I do go, I'm sending someone to be with every one of you who lives inside of you, who strengthens, heals, helps, delivers, teaches, guides. Thank God. He's with each of us when we open our hearts to receive Him. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He'll teach you all things. The New King James and the New American Standard Bible says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit. The Message Bible says, the Friend, the Holy Spirit. The New Living says, again, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. The promise. Now let's look at the fulfillment. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. I'd like you to see it in your own Bible. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Again, I'm reading from the New King James. And of course, if you don't have a Bible, we have some we can get you. Or they are right up here in front of you on the screen. Acts 2, 1 through 8. Let's look at it as we go through. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all, say it with me please, with one accord in one place. You got these people together, they're praying, they're seeking God, they're doing what He said in Acts chapter 1. Remember, go wait until you be endued with power from on high. So they're seeking God, they're praying, their hearts are knit together in this purpose. We're praying every day at noon, aren't we? that God will pour out His Spirit. God, pour out the Spirit. Let the revival come. Move and save people. Deliver people. Oh God, we want to see You move. With one accord, we are praying. In one place. And, what's the word? And, suddenly. This wasn't just a little experience that came in over the course of time and, oh yeah, I know God is here. And suddenly, there was an experience with God. And suddenly, there came a time where you met Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Suddenly, you accepted Him and your life changed. And here's another experience. And suddenly, here's something with God. There came a sound from heaven, say it with me please, as of a rushing, mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. No, this is just an experience for one or two folk. This is just an experience for Nancy Grunewald because she sings pretty. By the way, those of you who heard me preach about prophecy a few weeks back, I shared the experience with Wild Bill, who prophesied over me and another gal that we would travel the earth singing, and that person is Nancy Grunewald. And he's prophesying hands over here, and my wife's sitting there going, ain't no way that's going to happen. Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry going, we don't bear witness with this. I said to Nancy, I said, and Rick didn't either. She said, well, I wasn't married yet, but I'm sure Rick wouldn't have liked that. So we just get to fulfill part of it. Every now and then we get to sing together. What a joy. So, and suddenly this sound comes from heaven and it fills the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. Now remember, what had the Bible said? What had they declared about Jesus? He will baptize you. John the baptizer said it, really. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And say it with me, please. And they were... No, come on, I can't hear you. I'm just getting older. You know, these ears, they don't hear so well. And they were... That's much better. That's real nice. Now I want you to say it one more time really loud. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, were not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Now, if you drop down in your Bible, and I don't have it up there, verse 11 says, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. When you worship God, are you not declaring the wonderful works of God? When we praise and worship and lift up our voices, aren't we saying, Lord, You're wonderful, You're mighty, You're glorious. And no wonder what they overheard was the wonderful works of God. How many are in love with Jesus here this morning? Isn't He wonderful? Worthy of our praise and our attention. The word wonderful in the Greek is megalios. Megalios means magnificent. The conspicuous favor or the perfection. They declared the perfection and the favor and the magnificence of God. See, some people say, oh, speaking in tongues is of the devil, don't understand the Scriptures. The Bible says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues and magnified God. A rushing mighty wind. Peter stands up after they're confused. They don't know what they're doing. And Peter stands up and he preaches. Well, wait a minute. Wasn't this the same Peter who just got awfully intimidated and denied the Lord? How many understand there's one of the best proofs that the Holy Spirit changed a life immediately? Stood up and preached and 3,000 people came to Jesus and gave their lives to the Lord. Tongues as a fire, rushing mighty winds, miraculous utterance, the sign of receiving the promise. They were amazed, the people who were looking on, because some people say, well, tongues is just ecstatic utterance. The people who were ecstatic and amazed were the onlookers. They couldn't understand what was going on as a miracle of God and a powerful new spirit moved upon them. And thousands are saved and the new church is birthed. The early church is born. The day of Pentecost. The glorious fulfilling of the promises of God. And what a great day. Somebody say, hallelujah, what a great day. Christians who'd waited on God, praying in one accord, Jesus, pour out your Spirit. Do it, Lord. Pour out your Spirit. Saw the fulfillment of that. They waited on God. They were miraculously met by His divine Spirit. How many of you understand? There's a real contrast here. The Tower of Babel, man tried to build his own unity, and God scattered them by giving them other languages. And in this case, God, instead of man building a tower, God says, now I'll show you how to do this. And He pours out His Holy Spirit, brings thousands of people together in fantastic unity and one accord. And tongues is the resulting sign of that miraculous gift. But it's tongues that praise and declare the miraculous, wonderful works of God. The timid become bold. The weak become strong. The intimidated are changed into powerful sharers of the gospel, and multitudes respond. And folks, here we are, 2,000 years later, still praising and still worshiping God. Still looking good. Recipients of grace poured out by the hands of Jesus. There really is a blend of truth, of gratitude for our Jewish brethren in the early church and Pentecost Sunday. The symbols of this day, the fire, the zeal, the passion. If you look at me and say, yes, 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 I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and you yawn your way and can't stand God, I would say, it's time for a fresh filling. Time for something fresh. Because the passion of the Spirit of God filling your soul and pouring in you and through you is what He wants. Red, fire, zeal, passion, heat. Wind of the Spirit. All these things you find from the Scripture. It's a day of celebration, and something else special happened. Something we get to do. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then they turned around and started giving Him away to others. They started giving Him away and sharing and testifying of the good news. They received power to be His witnesses. Watch it in the set of Scriptures, Acts chapter 2, 37 through 42. Several points from this set of Scriptures. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Number one, how do you receive the Holy Spirit? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Okay, Lord, this is something you're doing. What should I do? What do I do? Then Peter said, okay, so you humble yourself and then you be taught. Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And, say it with me please, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children, and to all who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. No, no, the promise is just for a few folk. I knew some people once that spoke in tongues, and they were kind of off the wall. It's for everybody. The gifts of God are for everybody. Listen. How many of you were involved in the charismatic renewal? Okay. The Spirit of God has been poured out, and I'll speak about history in a few moments, a little bit more, and then we'll close. But the Spirit of God has been poured out major times. In 1902, Azusa Street Revival was poured out, and the Pentecostal church has birthed all around the world, and miracles took place. It was absolutely a fantastic anointing. 1948, at the same time, a spiritual parallel to natural Israel's restoration, comes another revival called the Latter Rain Revival, and great miracles, healing, speaking in tongues, prophecy, and praise and worship especially being restored to the church. Great time. How many understand then the charismatic renewal came along about 1967, about 1968, and mainline churches revived by the Spirit of the Lord, and people fell in love with Jesus and were baptized in the Spirit, and it didn't matter what your denominational wall were. There is a larger, almost than any other denomination, the Catholic charismatic move is still huge. Across the planet, Catholics, Episcopalians, Presbyterians, Lutherans, it didn't matter. The denominational walls fell down. The problem is, people then built the walls back up. But God still is alive and well, And it doesn't matter whether you're a Presbyterian denomination, Luther, or whatever you are. God's interested in you. Doesn't matter if your background is Catholic or Greek Orthodox. It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit wants to infuse your life with His fragrance, His presence, His strength, His power, His teaching. He wants to guide. Doesn't matter what the background is. And repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Ghost. The promise is to you, to your children, all are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. That verse makes more sense in today's generation than ever, doesn't it? There you go. He's dancing close to the light. Stay close to the heat. Thank you, Pat. Save the day. Then those. Watch what verse 41 says. Thank you. That's no distraction now, sort of. Then those. Say it with me, please. Who gladly. I'm sorry. I want everybody. I up here. Verse 41. Then those who.
Gladly.
I said those who.
Gladly.
Those who.
Gladly.
Those who.
Gladly.
Turn to each other and say, are you glad yet? Those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayer. Today, across the world, many people are baptized on Pentecost Sunday. If you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, do it today. He loves you so much, so radically. God loves you, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Give your life to Jesus. We'd be honored to pray with you. If you've not been water baptized, it's time to say, you know, I need a further experience with God. There's strength, there's washing away of the old man, all of those things. I need that in my life. Come on up, let's talk about it. Get your water baptized. Do it in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. And then if you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you haven't received a free release in speaking in tongues, the usual accompanying sign, He is available and He's here to minister to you today. Receive Him in the power of His Holy Spirit. Comfort, strength, power, peace. Some of you have not been fully released in your prayer language. Interestingly, Jesus has brought Nancy to us today. I see Pastor Jay and Pastor Tammy here as well. But Nancy, one of the strongest ministries the Lord has given her for the last 30 years is to lead people into the free release in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And if that's not what you have in your life this morning, Nancy will stand with us. Come on up and say, pray for me. Give me instruction. What do I need to do? God wants to meet you. There's a scripture that says, how many of you fathers, if your son asks for bread from you, would give your son a stone? How many of you would give your kid a rock to put in his mouth if he asked for a piece of bread? Or if he asked for fish, would give him a serpent? How many, anybody in this room, you do that? If you then, the Bible says in the book of John, being evil, in other words, compared to God, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Spirit to those who ask Him? Humble yourself and ask Him. And let someone pray for you, because today is your day.
Yes.
Roxanne's going to put on some praise and worship music, some gentle stuff in the background. We're not going to do any headbanging stuff. I don't think we have any of that back there. But what we're going to do is give time for fellowship. And, of course, there's snacks and there's fellowship. Please fill out your pledge for Israel. I'll be doing mine this morning. Leave it on the counter back there. If there's not a pair of scissors, just tear it. You can do that. And then leave it there and we'll send our support for Israel. But what we want to do is give God thanks that this is Pentecost Sunday, for the moving of His Spirit in his life. You say, wait a minute. Who else did that? I want to know who else spoke in tongues. In 1520, Martin Luther spoke in tongues. In 1850, it was the Quakers. In 1882, it was Dwight L. Moody, the famous evangelist. His meetings were marked with tongues and interpretation and prophecy. 1902 was Azusa Street. 1912, General William Booth, who started the Salvation Army. 1948, Latter Rain. 1968, Charismatic Renewal. 2010, right here, you got a whole bunch of people all around you who believe in the gifts of the Spirit. A recent survey by Barna in March of this year revealed over 21% of all American adults and 25% of those who consider themselves Christians answered a survey saying they have been filled with the Holy Spirit with at least one of the charismatic gifts resulting in tongues, prophecy, or healing. The younger generation believes in this more than our generations ever believed in it, but what they're desperately in need of is spiritual formation, because the Spirit comes in our life and then He teaches us. Millions of people all around the world have received the gift of God, and we have so much to be grateful for. Can someone say amen?